All righty, folks. Here we are once again, Wednesday night. Yes, sir. Yes, Brother Tom? Who did? Tim, really? Wow. Okay. How old is Tim? Okay, Tim, 46. So please add him to your prayer list. Some of you may not know Tim, but Tim's one of the family members over there at the Haws. He gotten saved several years ago. Never really got in church a whole lot, but certainly ask you to pray for him. And we're sorry to hear that, guys. You heading out now? Okay. If you hear anything, Brother Tom, can you give me a call a little bit later? All right. Wow. Where do we start, guys? Okay, let's open our Bibles, if we will, to the book of Proverbs. And we'll just try to go over a few things here tonight. Hopefully be a help to you and a blessing to you. Proverbs, of course, when I printed off my my sheets, I didn't print my introduction off to it, so I want to make up an introduction as we go along. We left off last time in Proverbs 15:5. It said, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. I believe that's where we left off, so we will pick up in Proverbs 15, verse 6. Proverbs 15, verse 6. And I know that I do things a little bit differently, I'm sure, than Brother Stevens. I hope that you're getting a blessing out of it anyway. There's no way I can fill his shoes. there's just not. It'd take me 20 years of experience to get close. So, the book is good. The Bible's good. And there's still a lot of good things, folks, for us in this book. And in Proverbs 15:6, the Bible just says this. It says, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Let's bow for a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, I ask you to set me aside while we open up your book here on a Wednesday night and try to get a few things out of the book of Proverbs, a few things that will help us, Father, encourage us, maybe set us in the right path where we should be. Lord, I do think of the Hawses and especially Tim having a stroke here this evening, very unexpected, a young man. And Lord, I know we've said this several weeks in a row, it seems like, concerning the Hawses, but they've gone through an awful lot lately. And I pray that you would just comfort that family and, Lord, help them out. I pray that Tim would wind up being okay, that you'd give the doctors strength and wisdom as well. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Proverbs 15, verse 6, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. And, of course, you start off, and you know, of course, Jesus Christ is the righteous. Amen? Jesus Christ is the righteous. Turn to 1 John chapter 2, if you will. 1 John chapter 2, real quick. 1 John chapter 2, a familiar verse. It says this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ the righteous. And brethren, I am so glad that in times like this, I've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the righteous. You know, according to Romans 10, brethren, that was our problem. Our problem was we went about and we tried to establish our own righteousness. We tried to establish our own righteousness, but you and I know we're not righteous. There is none good, no, not one. But Jesus Christ is the righteous. In 2 Timothy 4, the Bible says, henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing." The Bible says about Jesus Christ that he is a righteous judge. He is the righteous. I suppose on a pretty regular basis back there with the teens, you know, one of the things that you wind up dealing with, and one of the things that you wind up having to address when you're dealing with the teens, and it's not so different being an adult, is, you know what? Is it really worth being a Christian? Is it really worth being a Christian? You know, you have a young teenager, they grow up and they're, they start off as a young kid, they're 4, 5, 6, 8, 9 years old, and mom and dad know everything. They're so wise, they've got all the answers. Any problems they bring to them, like I can't tie my shoe, mom and dad are able to fix. And it's a very comforting thing. And then they grow up a little bit more, and they realize, you know, mom and dad aren't perfect. Mom and dad make a lot of mistakes. And mom and dad are teaching them about Christianity, and they learn about Christianity in Sunday school, and they grow up, and they start becoming a little independent. And they start realizing, I can make decisions for myself. I can choose my own way. There are some things that I can choose that I have the power to make the decision over. And one of the things that they wind up having to face, one of the decisions that they wind up having to face, is Christianity really worth it? Is Christianity worth it? And the problem with being young is that you're too short-sighted. Teens, you're too short-sighted. Because the world throws all kinds of things in front of your face. The world offers you all kinds of things which seem, at the time, very pleasant, very appealing, very desirable. And they're just sitting there and they're kind of, you know, like the mule with the carrot out on a little string in front of his face. And you just kind of walk after the carrot. And that's the way we are sometimes. That's the way we are. The problem with being old is obviously you realize how much time you wasted when you were young and short-sighted. But the question that they have to ask is simply, is it worth giving up what you need to give up to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it worth taking that risk? Is it worth the sacrifice? Is it worth putting certain things on the shelf and trying to control them in your life so that you can follow Jesus Christ, the righteous? Well, brethren, Proverbs 15:6 says, "In the house of the righteous is much treasure." Is much treasure. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. And you ever get to the point, teens, adults, when you start wondering whether it's right or whether it's profitable to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow His ways? So you think you have your own way. We all do. We all struggle with that. But you ever wonder about that? Brethren, Jesus Christ is the righteous, and in the house of the righteous is much treasure. In John 14, very familiar passage, the Bible says this. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Brethren, in the house of the righteous is much treasure. You know what? You'll never go wrong by trying to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in His ways. You won't go wrong. You say, I may run into some difficulties. Maybe, probably, almost guaranteed, as a matter of fact. But not the kind of difficulties you'd run into going the other way. Brethren, in the house of the righteous is much treasure. If we could, if we could just get a glimpse, if we could just somehow, like Paul, peel back the veil that's between us and heaven up there and just kind of get a glimpse of what's actually going on up there. If you had a chance to see the cherubim, the seraphim, to see the Lord sitting on the throne, if you had a chance to see all those people up there singing praises, hear those trumpets, and you got a glimpse of those streets of gold and everything that's up there in heaven, you know, one of the conclusions that you'd come to right away is it's definitely worth it. It is definitely worth it. You say, but I stand to lose so much down here on this earth. If you had a glimpse, you'd realize it's definitely worth it. Because, brethren, in the house of the righteous is much treasure. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. And we miss the treasure because we don't see it right away. Sometimes we forget the treasure that we have. In 1 John 3, the Bible says this. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We shall see Him as He is. Brethren, in the house of the righteous is much treasure. You realize the Lord Jesus Christ came down and died on that cross, shed His blood, went through everything that He went through, suffered at the hands of cruel men, so that He could make you and I His sons? So that He could make us His children? What a treasure. Brethren, what a treasure. What a treasure to be adopted into the family of God. Because He didn't have to do that for us. And in the house of the righteous is much treasure. And that's just one of the treasures that you get. In 2 Corinthians, the Bible says this. It says, in fact, if you can turn there if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting down around verse 5, the Bible says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Brethren, that thing right there says, it says that God commanded the light to shine out of darkness and the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and that to shine in our hearts. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ saved us so that we could be a light. You know, we used to sing that song in Sunday school all the time, "This little light of mine, I will let it shine. You know, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine." And brethren, that's what we're supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to be. You know, "I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Amen? And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a light. And one of the treasures the Lord Jesus Christ gave us in the house of the righteous is much treasure, is He put the Holy Spirit inside of us when we got saved, which is like a light that's supposed to shine out. It's supposed to shine out. And brethren, people are supposed to see that light in us. People are supposed to see that light in us. You ever been walking down the street or you meet somebody new, a stranger, and you just kind of know they're saved? I mean, I'm not saying that you can, you know, you're psychic and you can guarantee 100%. But brethren, a lot of times you meet somebody and there's a camaraderie, there's a fellowship, there's a kindred spirit that you run across. And brethren, what a blessing that is. What a blessing. I remember going down to, I think it was Oklahoma City, and I was down there going to school and talking with, you know, one of the guys in class, and he was just, you know, kind of about half foul mouthed, not real terrible, but about half foul. In fact, he was one of the instructors. About half foul mouth, just a run-of-the-mill type of guy. And, you know, and I didn't spend a lot of time with him. I was one of the students, and I was talking with one of the guys next to me. And about halfway through the course, it was like a three-week-long course, about halfway through the course, I wound up getting in a conversation with him over in one of the labs. He was an instructor. I had a little more one-on-one time with him. And the subject of church and the Lord Jesus Christ and Christianity came up. And all of a sudden, he pops up and he says, "Yeah, I go to church, such and such Baptist church down in Oklahoma City." He says, "Yeah, I'm one of the deacons there." I about gagged. Like, you've got to be kidding me. And he started telling me about all the things. You know, all of a sudden, he was talking about all the ministries that his church does and how they work with teens and all these different types of things. And I was sitting here in the back of my mind going, how come for a week and a half, I didn't even know you were a Christian? Brethren, 2 Corinthians, you know, one of the treasures we have in this earthen vessel, that is this earthen vessel, this flesh, this body, is that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He saved us, put the Holy Spirit inside of us, and brethren, we're to shine. That's a treasure. In Colossians 2:2, it says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You say, is it worth being a Christian? Is it worth what I'm missing? Brethren, Jesus Christ has all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you want the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Well, this is where you go to get it. You say, is it worth it? Oh, yeah, if you want wisdom and knowledge, this is where you go to get it. If you want the Holy Spirit that shines inside of you, the treasure in earthen vessels, Jesus Christ is where you go to get it. You got to go to the house of the righteous to find the treasures. You got to go to the house of the righteous to find the treasures. You know, I've been down to Mexico and went down and when I was a kid, I used to live right across the border from Mexico, as a matter of fact. And we used to always travel into Mexico on a couple week basis. And I used to get my hair cut down in Mexico at one of the barbershops. We used to always buy sweetbread down in Mexico. And one of the things that we had to pass through when we drove into Tijuana, this is before Tijuana became, really big and, they built up all the border station. We just drove through the small little border station. We always used to pass through what was called Cardboard Village. Cardboard Village. And that was exactly what it sounded like. People took cardboard and basically made their houses out of it. They made their houses out of it. You know what? There's not many people, if you're planning a big robbery spree, is going to go down to Cardboard Village. There's nothing there. Brethren, there's nothing there. That's what it's like. That's what the devil's like. That's what the devil's crowd is like. It's void of any real treasure. You know, you say, did they have any fun down there in Cardboard Village? Oh, I'm sure they did. They probably played soccer. You know, they probably got some rocks and some sticks and played, a little bit of baseball down there. And I'm sure they had, an enjoyable time to one degree or another. But brethren, there wasn't any treasure down there. There wasn't any treasure down there. In 2 Corinthians 2, it says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ. What a treasure. What a treasure. I mean, I know Jesus Christ is the righteous, and you think about that, and you look at all the things that you gain by being a Christian and the treasure that's in the house of the righteous. But how about just being a plain righteous man? Just a plain righteous man. Proverbs 29:2 says, When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Brethren, it is a blessing just to be righteous in general. Just to be righteous in general. In Proverbs 15 it says, "The Lord is far from the wicked." You get that? The Lord is far from the wicked. "But he heareth the prayer of the righteous." When you got saved, you got the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And just as a man, you carry around that righteousness. And you know what that righteousness entails you to? The Lord hears your prayers. The Lord hears your prayers. What a blessing. In Proverbs 12, it says, "The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand." And then it says in Psalm 97, it says, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints." I'll tell you what, brethren, one of the treasures you get by following the Lord Jesus Christ is just you get preserved. You get the Lord looking down and taking care of your house. That's a treasure. Can you imagine going through this life without that? I mean, who's going to take care of you? The devil? Random chance? Right? I'm the captain of my own destiny. That's okay. I'd prefer the Lord be the captain of my destiny. Thank you. Because I know I'd wind up on the rocks. There's a ship off in Lake Superior, and back in the 1900s, the ship was called the Gunilda. And back in the early 1900s, the owner of the ship, it's a yacht, a big yacht, decided he wanted to take his ship out for a little cruise. And he declined the services of a pilot, of a regular captain, to sail the ship. He decided he was going to sail it himself. All right? So he gets out there, and he's sailing the ship, and he's having a grand old time. A nice ship, brethren. I've seen some underwater photography, underwater video of it. The gold plating is still on the front of that ship where it comes down, the little curlicue, the little fancy stuff. I don't know what you call that, but there's still gold plating on that ship 100 years later. But he was out there on Lake Superior guiding his own ship because he thought that he could take control of it. And there's one thing that he didn't realize. At the spot where he was at in Lake Superior, it's about 250 feet deep, which is where the ship currently resides. It's about 250 feet deep until you get to one point in the lake where there's a sheer rock face underwater that goes all the way up to about a depth of 6 feet. And he was sailing that ship through, and everything looked fine, and it was a clear day. Everything looked grand, and he was the captain of his own ship, and he took that ship from 250 feet of water, which is plenty deep enough to, you know, for the draft of a ship, and he slammed it right into that 6-foot ledge. And there's pictures of it. That ship is sitting up on the bow of that ship is sticking up out of the water. And then he had the tugboats pull it back, and the hole that was in it just sank, dropped into 250 feet of water. I don't want to be the captain of my own ship. Amen? I'll choose Jesus Christ. I'll let him captain my ship. I'll let him captain my ship. Brethren, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and that's true. Look at what the Hawses are going through. They're saved. They have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. None of us are perfect, but I tell you what, when you got saved, when they got saved, when I got saved, we all got the same righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the Bible in Psalm 34 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. What a blessing, brethren. One of the treasures we have, when we get in trouble, when the Lord sees it fit to steer us through a few storms and a few trials and tribulations, you know what we have? We have a treasure in that the Lord will take care of us and deliver us out of it. And that's a blessing. In Psalm 37, it says, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. He is their strength in time of trouble. In Psalm 75, it says, all the horns of the wicked also will I cut off. That's not good, in case you were wondering. But the horn of the righteous shall be exalted. You know, in the Bible, when it's talking about horns, it's talking about a person's strength. They're, you know, the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. In Psalm 118, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. You know, one of the treasures that we have when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, we have joy. We have joy. We have something the world does not understand. We have something that's different. One of our treasures is joy. Nehemiah, the famous passage in Nehemiah 8, then he said unto them, go ye your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send the portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You want to get through the deep, dark times? You need to find joy. You need to find joy. One of the surefire ways to, in essence, commit suicide is to get down and in the dumps, complain, moan, groan, mumble, murmur about yourself, about your husband, about your wife, about the person sitting next to you in the pew, about the person sitting in front of you. Their phone went off during service. I just can't believe. And get on that habit habitually, I tell you what, you drive yourself crazy. Right? You drive yourself crazy. You say, Brother Bob, has your phone ever gone off during service? I think it did once. I try not to. But you know what? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Not how ornery and cantankerous you can be. Right? Not how ornery and cantankerous you can be. That's not your strength. That may be the devil's strength. That's not your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You ought to be joyful. You should. I don't know if you realize that or not, but I enjoy life. Amen? I enjoy life. And I'm glad the Lord is taking care of me. Because you know what? And Brother Stephen said this. He made this comment to me once when he was in the hospital. He said, you know what? The Lord's been so good to me, I can't complain about anything he does. There's a lot of truth in that. There's a lot of truth in that. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Brethren, you know what Proverbs 12:5 says? It says, the thoughts of the righteous are right. The thoughts of the righteous are right. You know what one of the treasures you have from being righteous? The Lord will help you to think the right things. Man, that I can sure use that an awful lot of times. You know, we think right. You ever, well, we meet them all the time, but you ever meet somebody and they don't think right? You watch them analyze a problem and you go, where on earth did you get that? Hey, brethren, one of the teens, you want to learn how to navigate life. You're growing up and you got this grand big world in front of you and you want to figure out, how do I make the right decisions about life? Hey, listen, one of the treasures of being righteous is the Lord will help you know how to think. He'll help you know how to make the right decision. Because without Him, you won't think right. There will be other things and other desires and other pulls that tug you away, and you won't think right. One of the treasures, brethren, of the righteous is we think right when we follow the Lord. We think right. Proverbs 15:6 says, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. You talk about eternal security. In Ephesians 1, it says, in whom also ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And one of the treasures we have, brethren, is just the fact that, you know what, we cannot lose our salvation. We were sealed with that Holy Spirit, and the Lord knows His own, and the Lord's going to take us to heaven, even if he has to take you kicking, screaming, fighting, biting, scratching, yelling, and complaining. And that's a treasure. That's a treasure. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Man, that's a blessing. You know what Proverbs 23 says? Proverbs 23:24 says this. It says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. You know what you and I do if we stay on the path of righteousness and we keep following the Lord? We make our Heavenly Father rejoice. What a treasure that is. What a treasure that is. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. In the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Now the wicked, obviously the wicked is the devil. It's a reference to the devil. In Matthew 13, he's talking about the parable of the sower. He goes out to sow and, you know, throws some seed in the ground, the stony ground, the good ground. And when he's explaining that in Matthew 13, Jesus Christ says, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. In 1 John 2:14, it says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Ye have overcome the wicked one. There's no doubt about it. The devil is the wicked one. Take a look at Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, familiar passage of Scripture to most of you. Isaiah chapter 14. And take a look down at verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. And here's your adversary. Here's the devil. Here's who he is. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Ezekiel 28. Kind of a parallel passage, Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, verse 12, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. The wicked, the devil. And down in verse 17 it says, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Psalm 73 says this. It says, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know, sometimes, brethren and teens, sometimes the wicked seem to prosper. I mean, Satan was a beautiful creature when he was created. A little bit of pride got in there, and the Lord had to take him down a few notches. But sometimes the wicked look like they have treasure to offer, but they don't. In the end, they'll be cut down. In Psalm 37, it says, for yet a little while the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. The wicked. God judgeth the righteous. In fact, Brother Bryce said this one earlier, Psalm 7. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. Brethren, we have, you got the choice. Proverbs 15 says, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Is trouble. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure. You got treasure. But the devil's certainly out to try to get you to taste his goods. Listen, all you earn from the wicked is trouble. Anytime you and I stray off that path of righteousness and we start giving ourselves over to the devil, even just a little bit, all we ask for is trouble. I mean, just even little mistakes, they don't do us any good. You say, oh, a little bit won't hurt. Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, right? Listen, all the wicked has to offer you is trouble. And I wish I would have learned that a lot younger in life. I wish I'd remember that more on a daily basis right now. But the devil doesn't care for you. The devil just doesn't care about you. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. There you go, Bryce, that's the one. I knew I had it in there somewhere as soon as you said it. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. All the nations that forget God. Destruction. That's all the wicked has to offer, is destruction. Psalm 145 says, the Lord preserveth all of them that love him, but the wicked will he destroy. The Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. And finally, Proverbs 16:8 says this. And brethren, this is something to take hold of. It says this. It says, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Sometimes we get our eyes on that filthy lucre, on money, on prestige, on power, on position. And brethren, sometimes it blinds us. But the Bible just simply says, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. How many people have in essence, sold out their Christianity for a job? How many people have sold out their Christianity, their walk with the Lord, their spiritual growth, just for money? Because they're chasing a position. Maybe because they're chasing a person. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. You know, the problem is sometimes we don't like to do without. But remember what I said earlier. If you could peel back the veils of heaven and look up there and see the treasure, you'd realize you're not doing without. You're not doing without. You've got more treasure walking with the Lord Jesus Christ than you could ever imagine, than anything on this earth could ever come close to giving you. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Look at Proverbs 15:7. Back to Proverbs, Proverbs 15:7. Proverbs 15:7 says, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doth not so." We spent a lot of time on the lips and the words here, the first few verses of Proverbs 15. Remember, so I'm not going to really go into it a whole lot, but just remember the power of your words. The things you say, brethren, how much influence, how much effect they have on the people that you speak them to. Even your jokes. Remember, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Remember, the fruit of a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Remember, use your lips to disperse knowledge, as in the knowledge of God. But it says, it says, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. But the heart of the foolish doeth not so. In closing, and getting ready to finish up here tonight, you know, brethren, being a fool is a heart matter. Being foolish is really a heart matter. In Psalm 14, the Bible says this, 14:1, it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. In Matthew 15, they ask the Lord, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." And the Lord turned around and answered them down in verse 19. He said, "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Proverbs 15 says, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so." A fool's problem is that what comes out of his lips originates down here in the heart. What comes out of the lips originates down here in the heart. I mean, that puts a whole new light kind of on the murmuring and complaining and moaning and groaning constantly type of a thing. Where does that come from? It comes from the heart. It comes from being discontent. It comes from not being satisfied with the things the Lord's provided you. It comes with not being joyful. It comes from the heart. It's a heart problem. When you see a fool, or when you and I fall into the place where we're acting like a fool, check the heart. Check the heart. A fool's problem is what comes out of his lips. And the root of that is the heart. Matthew 17. Turn to Matthew 7:17 real quick. Matthew 7:17. Matthew 7:17 says, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." Verse 17 says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." Brethren, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. Spend a lot of time on that. But the heart of the foolish doeth not so. You find yourself in a position in life, and you start making some foolish choices. You start saying some foolish things. You start hearing some things come out of your mouth that they're not edifying. They're not soft answer. They're not a tree of life. They're not, you know, the stuff coming out of your mouth is not it's not edifying to the brethren. It's because there's a heart problem down here somewhere. That's what a fool's problem is. Because what came out of his mouth was generated from his heart. Back to Proverbs 15, and we'll close down. Back to Proverbs 15. I like the book of Proverbs. There's just so much practical, good stuff that gets you right where you need to be gotten. Proverbs 15 says, "In the house of the righteous is much treasure." And there is. There's a lot of treasure. "But in the revenues of the wicked is trouble." And it says, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge." Amen, that's good. "But the heart of the foolish doeth not so." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for a chance to open up the book. And Lord, I know that it's pretty heavy and a lot of things going on in the book of Proverbs, and you kind of jump back and forth to a lot of different points. But Father, these truths are sometimes painfully simple. These truths are sometimes they just they cut right down to the essence. And Father, I suppose no pun, but the heart of who we are. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to realize this about ourselves. Help us to see that we can use our words to be a tree of life and to edify and to lift people up and build people up. Father, our tongue is just, it's an unruly member. And Lord, help us to realize that the root of that is really the heart. And give us the right heart, Father, to be who we need to be for you. Help us to disperse knowledge. Lord, and help us to realize the treasures that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. All too often we miss, because we don't see with our eyes, the treasures that the Lord Jesus Christ offers us and that He has waiting for us. And Father, sometimes we get sidetracked with the things of the world. And I pray that you would just help us not to fall into that trap. Help us to realize that when you adopted us, when you made us the sons of God, when you gave us the mind of Christ, when you saved our soul, you've given us treasures far beyond our wildest imagination. And Lord, there is no price for what you've given us. And help us to always remember that. And I pray that would be an encouragement to us as we go on about the rest of the week here. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, you can be dismissed.